She's gonna redistribute. That's what I'm saying, it's already.
You can do it twice.
All right, are we ready? I would like to welcome you to the February 3rd, 2020 meeting of Orrville City Council. We'll be led in prayer tonight by Pastor Brad Dews of Orrville Baptist Church.
Let's pray. Lord, it's good to come into this place, this government building, and still recognize you as God. To ask for your blessings, to ask for your wisdom, to ask for your guidance, that the will done tonight may be as the will is being done in heaven. Father, I just pray for each council member tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would give them a spirit of unity, a spirit of wisdom, and then, Lord, that you would speak to them, allow them to do the business of our community. We thank you for our mayor and our president, and for all that will take place in this meeting tonight. May you bless them, that your name may be exalted here upon the earth. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have the roll call, please.
Hanworth.
Here.
Asparis.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Mosley.
Here.
Perosa.
Here.
Widmer.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
Assume you've all had a chance to review the meeting minutes from the last meeting. Are there any additions or corrections? I have a motion to approve the minutes.
Mr. Wilson. I make a motion.
Mr. Perosa is the second.
Asparis?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Perosa?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hanworth?
Yes.
We have no standing committee reports for this evening, and so we'll begin with our regular reports, or we have no public comment, I should say. Then we'll move on to our standing committee reports. We'll begin with Parks and Recreation. Mr. Hanworth.
Thank you, Mr. President. I did have the opportunity last week to sit in on Orrville Area Development Foundation discussion and working through what we're calling the Gateway Project. That's exciting for me because it's no longer going to be called the Old Bowling Alley Area Project. So we don't have a lot of details there. We will be bringing that to everyone's attention as we get phases of what that's going to look like. But I am excited to say there is some progress there. So I will be looking to schedule a Parks and Rec committee, hopefully before our next council meeting. And I'd like to discuss with our team some additional parking and looking at the phases of what these projects would entail due to the fact that we have many baseball games, softball tournaments, and obviously the 4th of July upcoming. I want to make sure that if we do have these projects underway that we match up with the right time frames. So I'll be reaching out to the team to schedule that a meeting to discuss those items.
Very Very good. Utilities, Mr. Spiros.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report for tonight.
Thank you. Ordinance and personnel, Mr. Worsen.
Thank you, Mr. President. No report from ordinance and personnel tonight.
Thank you. Transportation, Mr. Mosley.
Thank you, Mr. President. January 21st, after our regular council meeting, the committee met, pretty much discussing different protocols and all that kind of stuff, how to address issues that are transportation related. We also looked at different types of software and all that good stuff, you know, that would obviously be handled in-house. We did find that we actually do have a capability of handling a lot of ideas that we brought up. It's just a matter of Mr. Wheeler kind of asking the questions and seeing how efficient our current city, what is it?
Software
it was able to do. And then I believe that is all I have, Mr. President.
All right. Thank you very much. Health and safety, Mr. Perosa.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. There was a health and safety committee meeting held prior to tonight's meeting regarding resolutions 220 and 320. Resolution 220 being the potential purchase of a new fire truck, and resolution number 320 being the potential of purchasing a new canine. We had a great discussion. If anyone has any questions, wants any details about the potential purchase of a new fire truck or a canine, please contact a member of City Council or a member of the administration. We'll be glad to answer any questions that anyone might have. Please, if you could do that, if you have any questions, please do that prior to our next council meeting on the 17th.
Thank you. Mr. Crows, I wanted to commend you and your committee for a really fine presentation for that before council. I thought it was very well prepared, and we had good representation from the police and fire departments. And it's that kind of work that I think gives our citizens the confidence in the work that we are doing that is required in order to make these kind of large purchase decisions. So I just want to thank you and commend you. And also for building upon the work of Mr. Spiros, who has been the Health and Safety Committee Chairman for the past 2 years, and have done a lot of work on this as well. So both of you have served us well. I just want to thank you. Planning, Mrs. Whitmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Planning has no report, but I would like to schedule a meeting to discuss the potential purchase of property. And I would propose that we do that on the 17th at 6:30. We would do that before orientation, if that works for everyone.
Very good. And the orientation meeting will be immediately following council that night. So does that time work for everybody? All right. Very good. So we'll meet at 6:30 on February 17th for the Planning Committee. Finance, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a reminder that we have a committee meeting immediately following this to discuss proposed spending limitations on from the administrator's end. So more to come on that, but I promise no presentations later, Mr.
I don't think he can pop that for a little while, especially talking about it all. You know, it pops everything, I guess. So. No special committee reports for tonight, so we'll begin with our administrative reports, and we start with Mayor Handwerk.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just have one item tonight, and that is to mention our February Employee of the Month, and that is Mr. John Bass from the Electric Distribution Department. Jeff Vogelhuber, the now superintendent of that department, had this to say about John, that he was hired as a utility worker in August 1999. He's advanced through the line worker classifications, is now a line worker 3. He's always been a reliable worker and can be counted on to come in and help at all hours when there are outages. And of course, those are usually at all hours. So those guys are coming in at all kinds of crazy times for those sort of things. John is a valuable employee for the department. And he's married to Michelle, who also works for utilities in the utility billing office. So he helps get the electric going, and she helps collect money for bills. So that's a combo. They like to spend their free time working on their farm and enjoy spending time with their children and grandchildren. And that's all I have.
Thank you very much. We'll move on to our safety service director, Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's been a quiet winter so far, knock on wood. Let's hope that continues. I do have just one announcement. John Scott, our superintendent, who has been with the city for 35 years, has announced his retirement effective the end of February. Ryan Emmel, who is our second in command, will be assuming the superintendent position effective March 1st. John's final hurrah will be his presentation at the next meeting. So I'm assuming he's going to bring out all the stops for that presentation. So it should be a lot of fun. And just congratulate John and Ryan. I thought I'd do it tonight since they're both here, and that way you can talk to them if you get a chance after the meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Scott, for your many years of service. We'll move on to our Utilities Director, Mr. Brediger.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no comment tonight. I'll have a couple comments regarding old and new business tonight.
Okay. Thank you very much. Our Finance Director, Ms. Trimlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. One of the documents I provided to Council prior to the meeting was the final quarterly investment report for 2019. Just wanted to give you a little bit of background on our investments. Meter Public Funds out of Dublin provides portfolio management services for us, as well as over 300 other public entities. Last year, the investments that they had totaled $25 billion. As you might imagine, investing for government is difficult at best. There are laws that restrict the types of investments we can make, and also the years of maturity. We also have an investment, local investment policy that we need to abide by when we're considering potential investments. Last year, we had $49 million invested. We were earning between 1.5% and 2.75%. Last year, those earnings totaled $719,000. Our other accounts earned interest of approximately $223,000. So in total, our investment earnings exceeded $940,000. I'll be asking Meter to come in to give Council a presentation going over the services they provide, give us a potential market update, probably in April. Council does not need to take any action when I distribute these reports. We just need the minutes to reflect that they have been distributed. You've had an opportunity to review those and ask questions if you have any. The other item I have this evening is the fund balance for November and December. We will be going over that document in detail during council orientation, then again during our final appropriation workshop. So for this evening, I just need a motion from council to accept those reports subject to audit.
Mr. Wilson makes the motion, and Mr. Yep. Mosley seconds.
Morrison?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Carosa?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Handworth?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
I just say something. I'd like to just mention that those kind of good news stories about our investments don't come by accident. That's due to some very great work by Ms. Grimm, our finance director. So we appreciate your work on all that.
Thank you.
Very well. Our law director, Mrs. Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just one item I want to bring to Council's attention. We were able to schedule a Ohio Public Records meeting through the Ohio Attorney General's office for Thursday, April 16th at 1 o'clock at Schmidt Hall. That's open to, it's free of cost. If anyone would like to go to that, I would strongly encourage, particularly if you've never been to one before. We did host one last year for the first time, and it was well attended, and I think it went very well. Elected officials are required to have an attendance at least once during their term. I typically go as your representative. I go almost every year. So you are not required to go because I go. But if you've never been before, it's very helpful. It's both on open meetings and also on public records. So it's about a 2 to 3 hour session, and it's taught by the Ohio Attorney General's office.
Do we have a time for that meeting?
1 o'clock, Thursday the 16th of April at Schmidt Hall.
Good. All right, thank you.
I'm sorry, and you do need to register, so it's on the Ohio Attorney General's website. I can forward a link to anyone who's interested.
Thanks very much.
Okay.
For me, the only announcement I have, we had to postpone our orientation meeting due to my father's recent illness and passing. And so the next available time we could find was February 17th, immediately following city council meeting at approximately 8:15 p.m. So we're going to get in as much as we can on that night, and if we need to schedule additional time, then we will do so. So that's what I have. Now on to old business. Mr. Morrison.
Resolution 220. I move this resolution be placed on second reading.
Mr. Wilson, second.
Mosley?
Yes.
Rosa?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hanworth?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Resolution 220. A resolution authorizing the Board of Control to enter into a contract and or contracts with the State of Ohio Purchasing Cooperative, Department of Administrative Services, to purchase one 2020 Pierce Arrow XT fire engine for use by the Fire Department of the City of Oroville, Ohio, and declaring an emergency.
Very good. We had an excellent meeting, as I said, before our council meeting, but Mr. Carozo, do you have any additional comments for us?
This will go three readings, and again, if anybody has any questions out in the community, don't hesitate to contact a member of City Council, again, or City Administration. We'll be glad to answer any questions regarding that potential purchase of a new fire truck.
Very good.
I'm sure that the fire chief would also open up his door as well if anyone has interested in coming into the department and talking to him or seeing any of our current engines as well.
All right, very good. Thank you very much. We'll move on. Mr. Larson.
Resolution 320. I move this resolution be placed on second reading.
Mr. Mosley, second.
Carozza?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hanworth?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Resolution 320. A resolution authorizing the Board of Control to enter into a contract and or contracts with Gold Shield Canine Training Limited for the purchase of one police service dog for the Police Department of the City of Oroville, Ohio, and declaring an emergency.
Very good. Mr. Carozo, any additional comments?
This, too, will go three readings. And if anybody has any questions, again, contact a member of council, city administration, or the police chief, Matt Birkbeck, and we'll be glad to answer any questions. And so that's all I have.
Yes, Mr. Mosley.
Quick question. I know obviously we met with the police department, and obviously the time frame with retirement, you know, of our canine as well as the retirement of the trainer. Would it benefit us if we pass this on the second reading instead of letting it go three?
In speaking with the police chief, we're okay going three readings. The training doesn't start to the very end of March, so it'll be the last class that this particular instructor, Dan Bowman, of Gold Shield training, last class. But I think it starts like March 30th. It'll be the final class. Starting date, so we can go one more reading.
So. Mr. Orson, did you have a question?
I just wanted to comment that the same thing Mr. Mosley said. I know that the trainer will begin his final class on at the beginning of March, and in the committee discussion, I thought I was under the impression that they needed to get rolling on this dog right away because it needs to be purchased in Belgium and brought over here before the beginning of March. Does that sound correct, Mr. Wheeler?
That is correct, but we are locked in for a spot. Okay. Not that we're assuming a spot, but it's easier to cancel than it is to add on, so we are locked in for a spot in the training. So I believe if council is more comfortable going three readings, we'll be okay.
That's no problem. Yes, Mr. Spears.
What would your recommendation be? Is there anything that would change between this meeting and the next meeting?
To be very honest, no. Okay. Unless there's some questions or something that you're not comfortable with that you would like answered in the meantime, maybe, you know, in person, then
sure.
No. The facts are what they are, and I don't expect that they'll change any at all for us in the next 2 weeks.
I would say that given those circumstances, and as committee chair, I'll ask you, Mr. Piazza, would it be okay with you if I move to?
Absolutely.
Okay. Given that the window of opportunity is closing quickly, and this is something that we fully intend to do, I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Mr. Spiros, second.
Widmer? Yes. Wilson?
Yes.
Hanford?
Yes.
Ms. Spiros?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Carosa?
Yes.
I move resolution 320 be adopted as read.
Mr. Mosley, second.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hanford?
Yes.
Ms. Spiros?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Carosa?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
We'll move on now to new business, Mr. Wilson.
Resolution 520. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Hanford?
Yes.
Ms. Spiros?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Carosa?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Resolution 520. A resolution authorizing the Director of Utilities of the City of Oroville, Ohio, to enter into a contract without bidding for the purchase of one new 60-foot distribution bucket truck, rescinding Resolution 4219 and declaring an emergency.
I believe Mr. Brediger had said that he would like to make some comments about this legislation, so I'll give the floor to him.
Yes, thank you. I did send out a letter to the Utilities Committee of Council on the 28th of January. The reason that we wanted to reintroduce this resolution was I misstated the cost, estimated cost of this truck when we brought this to City Council. I was looking at the prior recommendation on the truck that we had purchased earlier in the year. I'd indicated to City Council that this truck was going to be purchased at an estimated cost of $170,000. I should have said $220,000. And that is the only thing that changed from this. This truck has been on order. We're going through the final specifications on that. So that was a misstatement of an estimated cost on that. We had the funds approved in our budget. Nothing else changes. I just wanted to, since we had a misstatement on that quote, just to try to keep things transparent. And since this resolution was passed prior to this new council here, our law director thought that we'd just err on the side of caution and just reintroduce the resolution. And I'll be happy to take any questions.
Very good. Since this resolution was already passed by a previous term of council and the truck has already been ordered, suspending the rules might be in order here.
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Mr. Carosa, second.
Ms. Spiros?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Abstain.
We do need to have a motion to abstain from voting, and council will have to vote on that.
Okay. Should I give my reason? Or?
Yes.
The reason I have for abstaining is, you know, obviously the resolution that we are replacing this with back in 2015, actually, the specs have changed in between the two trucks.
Same truck.
Same size.
Same truck, same size. Same everything except the estimated cost.
While you're looking at that, I'll just simply state that the primary motion or the primary reason to abstain from a motion would be if you were to personally benefit from the decision that council is making.
Okay. So, I mean, From my understanding, just with the dose that I looked at the previous legislation, it said, I read a 40-inch, the original one was a 40-foot bucket truck. That's the only thing I came across, so I could either give a no.
You are required to vote on this, I believe.
Okay. All right. No, mostly.
Okay, very good. We can proceed.
Okay, so Mosley, what are you going with there?
Mosley has recorded a vote of no.
No. Okay. Carroza?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hamburg?
Yes.
Move Resolution 520 be adopted as read.
Mr. Carroza, second.
Lorson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Right now we're voting on, the first vote was to suspend the rules. You voted no there. This vote now is to adopt the resolution.
Yes.
Carroza?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Handwerk?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Resolution 620. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Mosley?
Yes.
Carroza?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Handwerk?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Lorson?
Yes.
Resolution 620. A resolution authorizing the Director of Utilities of the City of Orrville, Ohio, to enter into a contract and or contracts without bidding for engineering design and development of bid specification to construct a new transmission line, rescinding Resolution 3015 and declaring an emergency.
Mr. Brediger, would you like to comment?
Yes, I will. This comment will also apply to the Resolution 720 when we get to that later on in the meeting. The reason we are reintroducing Resolution 620 is, again, something we are doing out of abundance of caution. This resolution was first approved by the Utility Board and the Orrville City Council in 2015. This was back immediately following the EPA regulations that changed the operation of the power plant, shifted our dependence on the national electric grid, and got us going down the path of securing a second transmission line. This resolution will deal with the engineering costs associated with that project. Let me just go back and bring you through a little bit of the timeline and the history on this. This may be of benefit, especially for those council members that weren't involved in this rather lengthy process. But as I mentioned, we had a settlement with US EPA towards the latter part of 2015. That settlement fundamentally changed the operation of our generating facility from operating on a 7-day-a-week, 24-hour-a-day basis to a more peaking basis. At that time, that plant supplied the energy most of the time to our customers, was in service. A unit was in service all the time throughout the course of the year. Our existing interconnection that we have with AEP was kind of our backup at that time. When that new order came into play, that shifted the roles around on the from the power supply perspective. That put all of our reliance on that tie line on a day-to-day basis. The plant was more an emergency backup, but that plant was not in service at the time of a transmission interruption. It would be lights out for our customers, and that it would have remained out until we got the plant up and going. It was quickly realized by our board that that's not a position from a reliability perspective that we wanted to place our customers, so we started embarking down the second path of looking at a second transmission line. We had an idea what those costs were going to look like at that time, but we had a lot of unknowns, but we wanted to get some legislation in place that allowed us to pursue with that. At that time, we were indicating that the cost of that transmission line was going to be roughly about $15 million. That did not include roughly another $5 million in costs that were going to be required in our two existing substations. Over the course of time, we were on a holding pattern, mainly because of additional federal regulations and some uncertainties on how our generation behind the meter was going to be treated. Towards the latter part of last year, a lot of those decisions, legislations, and regulations were passed that allowed us to kind of get a better look on what that second transmission line looked like. It also allowed for third-party developers to enter into the picture, and there was some clarification made at the federal level that still allowed us to receive these transmission credits from our power plant during these peak times. And those two, those last two items were pretty critical to us, and it just took us this length of time, not only us, but the rest of the industry, to get through that regulatory process. Fast forward into fall of this year, we updated our study on this project, and the board decided to move forward with this. We elected to partner with our state association has a nonprofit business entity called AMP-T. They go out and build transmission lines. One of the caveats that came into play as part of these new regulations that allows us to divest of some of these assets and eliminates our need to be involved in a lot of federal programs that involve owning transmission lines, especially when we're interconnected with another utility. Those estimated costs of $15 million moved up to the roughly $17 million type mark, and as we partner with this third-party entity, those costs are all shifted on them, which means that our customers will not be bearing those great expenses for that transmission line. We will still have some of the internal substation upgrades that will still be required, but the cost for that main bulk of that that project will be basically borne by other users of the transmission system, which is good news because we have other uses for that. So this resolution again just reaffirms the our ability to go out and do the engineering related with this project, even though the scope is reduced. And I will I'll stop there and answer any kind of questions that you might have on that. Again, this resolution is for the engineering associated with it. Nothing else in this scope has changed from that original resolution that was passed in 2015.
And I would assume you feel the quality is the same. It's just the cost is shifted to.
The cost is shifted, and there are some other enhancements that'll help us out from the reliability perspective. But for all intended purposes, it's the same.
Okay.
It's the same line. We're planning on interconnecting with another utility, and that line will be coming from another direction. So we have some other reliability benefits coming from that. But that was part of our original plan back in 2015, too. It's just a lot of more things have been defined that we weren't in position to move on back when this resolution was first approved. And again, but so much time has elapsed that we did consult with Ms. Kirkbride on that. She just felt that due to the length of time that we had and the fact that we had four new council people now on board that wasn't with City Council when this resolution was originally proposed, that we would reintroduce that again.
Yes, Mr. Spiras.
Thank you. I think I know the answer, but I still am going to ask. If we were to not pass this, would the ones that are currently in place still suffice, or do these need to be passed to replace them if not much has changed?
Sean, you have a what respond to that? Or can you?
I'm sorry, are you asking from a procedural standpoint, or are you asking about from the utility of the actual current
infrastructure? From the legislation part of it, if these weren't to pass, it seems like they're replacing because we have a new council. If we weren't to do it, I'm not saying we are.
Understood. Well, yeah, my recommendation was because it was so old and also because there were different people. So procedurally, I don't believe that it is necessary, but I felt that it was prudent and that was my recommendation.
Okay. And from what I understand, too.
Yeah, from the auditor perspective as well, yes.
Yeah, 4 years is quite a long time.
Sure, so, I follow.
Yeah.
Mr. Worson.
So essentially, this is a courtesy for the
it
newly
is,
onboarded council.
As well as, and Ms. Strimlin did point out, sure. The auditor does look at this kind of thing, and so to keep everything the way that we'd like it to be current, it's recommended.
Yeah, sure. And I can speak as well that
there are no statutory limits on this. So this
correct.
And there was good consideration given to this, both in the prior resolutions that passed it, and the Board of Public Utilities has looked at this for quite a while, too, and Mr. Brediger as well. So,
Mr. Mosley.
You guys have like a time frame of when... No, when you're expecting
this will roughly be 5 years.
Is it an action?
Four and a half to 5 years.
Pardon? Is it an action? Is it currently?
We are in. Yeah, we have started the planning process. There will be some action items that will be taking place within the next month or so. So yes, we have started on this work on this.
So in view of the fact that work has already begun and this resolution has already been passed by previous council, I believe suspending the rules could be in order.
Right. Again, I'm motion to suspend.
Well, we have to actually make the motion. Let's let Mr. Larson make the motion.
Okay. Yeah, and given again that this has been considered prior and it's in the very same context, I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Mr. Carroza, second.
Carroza?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Handwerk?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes. I move Resolution 620 be adopted as read.
Mr. Wilson, seconds.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Handwerk?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Carroza?
Yes.
Resolution 720. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Asparis.
Wilson?
Yes.
Handwerk?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Carroza?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Resolution 720. A resolution authorizing the Director of Utilities of the City of Warrenville, Ohio to bid and enter into a contract and or contracts for purchase of materials, services, permitting, construction, and installation of a new transmission line, substations, and related system improvements, including the potential sale of assets and the purchasing and or leasing of property, rescinding Resolution 3115 and declaring an emergency.
Mr. Brager.
I will continue our story. This resolution is for the physical work connected with this project, not so much the transmission line itself, but this will mainly be focused on the distribution side, two substations that will be interconnected with this equipment. It is the same resolution with the exception we have added one new section to that, and that is the part that reads, including the potential sale of assets and the purchasing and or leasing of property. Concept of selling the existing interconnection that we have between us and AEP was not part of the initial proposal. That was an opportunity that has come out of this years of studying. The leasing of property would be connected to the new line The owners of this new line, AMP-T, would actually be owning some of the property inside our, or leasing some of the property inside our two existing substations. That's where the circuit breakers, that's where the main transformers are at. So as part of this this project, we will be leasing some of that property back to the company that's building the line for us. Other than that, the resolution reads the way it did in 2015. The only other thing I want to add on that is since we haven't talked about funding on any of these projects, I just wanted to comment on that. Since the agency back in 2016 started targeting and challenging coal-fired power plants, we have been very deliberate in building up reserves in anticipation for some huge expenditures at the power plant at that time. We saw our only recourse to bend against some of the tightening of emission limits was to look at the future possibility of adding some pretty expensive pollution control equipment. I'm happy to say that we have built up a pretty good war chest. Just those funds are going to be redirected more on the transmission side and not on the power generation side. Our upgrades to our, just to give you an idea where some of our future spending will be related to this project. I mentioned there are some work that's required at our two main substations. That work will probably be in the neighborhood of around $8 million. We are looking at picking up some used diesel generators somewhere in the neighborhood of around $1 million. We're looking at purchasing some backup generation at our water and wastewater utilities to the tune of the neighborhood of around $4 million each. We have some other upgrades to our distribution system that is also part of this this broader project of around $1 million. And depending on the future decisions related to our third industrial park, we will most likely be siting a substation at that facility. So we have some ample reserves in the bank to be able to address most of these projects. So that's again going to save our customers quite a bit. We should not have to go out and be seeking any significant funds from a borrowing perspective. And I'll take any other questions that you might have for that.
Mr. Morrison.
Back to the idea of the sale of assets in the intertie line, would that then be is it AMP that we're...
Yeah, it'd be AMP-T. Yeah.
Okay, so AMP-T that we're working with on the new one is looking at buying that.
Right, they would purchase that. Yeah, okay. In order for us to be out outside the federal guidelines from a reporting and... a plethora of requirements and operating restrictions. We do not want to have any ownership on any high voltage electrical systems that are connected to the national electric grid.
Okay.
And so what that will involve us would be us divesting of our 8.5 mile section of 138,000 volt line between here and ADP.
And there may be some benefit in that, too, given the age of that line. That
there is quite a bit, and we mentioned this at the utility board. That line was built in the late 70s. We're coming up on some useful life limit, especially on the poles, probably inside the next 5 to 10 years, looking at having to just repole that entire 8.5 mile. That cost alone, we would be looking at somewhere between $2.5-3 million. When that time comes for that, those costs will not be borne by us. So those will be some future deferred savings that also come back to benefit the utility. So there are a couple other wins located with this. Now the bad news about that line doesn't have a lot of value to it. So there. Most likely, we haven't looked through the financial side of our business yet, but there's probably not much a net book value in that. But the assets related to the new substation behind Smucker's Those still have a value that haven't been depreciated, and when we divest from those, we should end up with a positive cash flow. And those monies, too, will go to support some of these projects on the water side of our business.
Then will we have skin in the game in negotiating transmission costs through those?
Well, not any more than we currently do now. Okay. This whole process is, I liken it to the fact that if you can't beat them, you join them. And that's why these third-party entities have started to get into the transmission game. They can't seem to stave off these annual increases that are being mandated by the owners of these transmission systems. So people are going out and building them, and they are getting those revenues. Now, we will still be indirectly paying into those a little bit, but at a much less degree on that. So, yes, we will be paying for it indirectly in these transmission costs that we mentioned here every year keep going up, but we're just going to be paying an incremental amount because those costs are socialized across all the people that are connected to the AEP transmission system network. That's kind of the beauty that's come out of the new regulations at the federal level that allow people to get into this new business because it is so lucrative. We are continuing on addressing that front at the federal level. As a matter of fact, that's probably one of our top topics that we'll be discussing when we go to Washington here at the end of the month. So those costs are continuing to go up. This is a way for us to at least kind of get a little bit of, you know, some of that back and avoid a ton of exposure from a financial perspective to us and still come out with the same reliability that we had going into this when we first started going down this path in 2015.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
One of the more complicated and expensive projects that the city has taken on in quite a while. Any other questions or comments?
I have one.
Yes.
Just real quick, it's not often we get news that any new regulations actually benefit us, so that's kind of good to hear tonight.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very good. Are we ready to vote?
Given the explanation of this, and again, that this is basically a refreshment of what was passed before with some additions that actually sound beneficial, I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Mr. Espira, second.
Hamburg?
Yes.
Espira?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Rosa?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes. I move resolution 720 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Pelosi.
Asparis?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Carosa?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hamburg?
Yes.
Very good. Does anyone have anything for the good of the order? Mr. Larson.
Mr. Vance, I would like to share the thoughts of all of the council in expressing our sympathies at the loss of your father. We're glad to have you back. Although Travis did well in your place,
we have exactly the same amount of experience.
But welcome back.
Well, thank you. And I do appreciate all the many gestures and phone calls and emails and expressions of love and support for me. It's been quite a few weeks here for me. Some of you are aware I was in the hospital last week getting a couple of stents put in. So it's been a lot, and your support has meant a lot. I appreciate it very much. Thank you. Anyone else? Mrs. Widmer.
I just wanted to take a moment to thank all of our directors. I think it's incredible that we have a finance director who is making sure that we have investment income, and our utilities director who is on the ball making sure that our city is prepared for what's to come in the future. So thank you.
Mr. Mosley, did you have something?
Yes, I'd just like to motion that we go into executive session, correct?
For what purpose?
A piece of resolution that I found the 41-foot bucket truck where it was written at.
I don't believe that's a valid reason for executive session.
Okay.
You can make a comment about it.
Yeah, so like, just a comment I got. You know, I said I've seen the 41-foot bucket truck. It's on resolution 4219 where it's at. It says that the Director of Utilities is hereby authorized to enter into contract without bidding to purchase one 41-foot bucket distribution truck for the city of Wardville.
Yeah, I'll just have to pull that other resolution out there. You may be correct on that. We've had a couple trucks that we purchased in last year, and that height may have got mixed around also.
That might explain the difference in cost as well.
That's an easy one. But I can tell you that this truck that is on order right now is a $220,000 truck.
Right.
I'll confirm the size.
Thank you. And that resolution has been rescinded officially now as well.
Yes, it has.
Anyone else? Okay, we'll need a motion to adjourn.
Actually, I'm supposed to give my presentation tonight.
Oh.
My annual report. If you would like me to wait 2 weeks, then we can just push God's Got Retirement back. And
I like that idea.
I'll make that motion.
Very good. We will now entertain Mr. Wheeler's presentation.
My apologies.
It's okay. No problem.
It didn't work.
It didn't work, and you weren't going to let it work anyway.
It did say it. You're correct.
Steve Wheeler. I'm the Safety Service Director. This is the 2019 annual report for the Safety Service Department. It was another busy year, as reflected by the zoning certificates issued. We did have 11 new single-family homes in 2019 with a value of just over $3.2 million. Majority of those were in Marsh Ridge. We did have a few on High Street, as well as one on 711 West Market. We also had three to four family homes and those were all on BlackBerry at a value of just under $2 million. Also had one new commercial, and that was the Dollar General. Four new industrial and commercial alterations. Those involved some demolitions as well as construction of a new gazebo out at Orr Park by Field 4 by the Exchange Club. Overall, we had 91 total zoning certificates issued with a value of just over $6.5 million. Property maintenance violations. In 2019, we had 18 properties in violation. We had 33 visits made by the inspector, who was Dan Lau. We also had 19 letters sent by the department, and 10 of those violations were corrected and closed as of the end of 2019. Total estimated dwelling units and population. This is obviously based on the amount of construction we've had, as well as just an estimate through a formula. 3,846 is our estimated dwelling units, with 8,731 as our estimated population. Obviously, the 2010 census corrected past estimates. Our 2020 estimate, which will come a few years after, we'll get the official numbers, so then we'll update the numbers at that time. Also, you'll note that our total miles of the street is 51 miles in the city of Warville, probably more than most people realize. Another consistent year on our residential recycling and landfill summary. Percent recycled stayed right at 15.7%. You will notice there was an increase in our total landfill and total recycled. A portion of that obviously is the result of the amount of new construction we've had with 30 new homes. I won't account all of that for that, but that did contribute to the increase. Park and pool receipts and expenditures, 47,000 in pool receipts. Our pool concession receipts, as well as our park concession, amounted to about $17,000, which is very consistent with what we've seen since we took over the concessions at the pool and the park. The pool and rec expenses was $132,000. The pool capital expenses was $54,000. All of that was a result of the capital funds that came from the state. That was a $25,000 grant with a $25,000 match. As a result of that, we were able to do significant improvements to the Orr Pool bathhouse, including new toilets, new chemical controller, new bathroom sinks, hot water heater, shower heads, and we painted the Orr Pool bathhouse roof as well. So those were all nice improvements that were much needed as most of that was outdated. Our park receipts had a good year at $18,000. Park expenses, $218,000. And our park capital expense was just under $44,000, and that was actually a rollover from the 2018 Orr Park parking lot resurfacing. So that project was finished up in 2019. Our pool attendance, we had 69 total days open. We had 8 days closed. Average attendance was 207 per day. Overall, we had 14,295 in attendance. You'll notice that there was a gap between 2015 and 2019 in regards to attendance. The software wasn't taking attendance, and the kids weren't manually doing that, so we didn't have good numbers. So we're really pressing for those numbers in the future just to make sure that we're able to kind of gauge how we're performing at the park or at the pool. Another busy year at the cemetery. We had $46,000 in general fund receipts, $4,600 in interest, overall $51,395 in operating receipts. The maintenance endowment fund had $13,708. That fund actually is funded through every time a upright headstone is part of a burial, they have to pay a $150 fee. That's to account for the extra maintenance that comes with the kind of mowing around upright burials. That's been an historical policy in the city. As you'll see, that fund had $400,000 a few years ago. It's about $293,000 now. That fund is solely for the purposes of capital purchases for the cemetery. General fund expenditures of $195,000, $1,382 in capital. And that was for a minor Section 14 drainage project. Overall, total expenditures for that fund were $196,000. Number of burials, it was, again, a busy year. We had 72 burials, 50% of which were residents, 50% were non-residents. Grants update, another busy year for Kristen Ensley. She's our grant writer and does a fantastic job. The Joint Solid Waste District Recycling Grant, we received $19,600. That grant is based on the amount that we recycle. So truly, when our residents and our citizens recycle, it does pay us back to some extent at least. We also use a portion of that to pay down the trash bill, so that actually saves our residents money on their trash bills as well. The East Pine Street ODOT project, which was federally funded, we received $768,000. Our 50-50 match on the OPWC grant for West High Street resurfacing, we received $458,900. State capital improvement, the Heartland Trail Phase 3 project, which was one that was completed in town this in the fall, we received $100,000. The capital improvement fund again for the Whirlpool Bathhouse, which I just mentioned, we received $25,000. The Wayne County Community Foundation, we did receive $5,500 for a shed and some other minor improvements. And then the Community Foundation, we also received $2,500 for new fountains for the Vine Street Pond. Not sure if you've driven by there. It's right across from McDonald's. We've done quite a bit of work there. It's very nice right along the trail. Overall, $1.38 million in grants for 2019. Here's kind of a grant summary for you over the last 11 years. As I noted, $1.3 million in 2019, but over $10 million in the 11-year period in grants that we've received. The Ring Performing Arts Program was successful once again, thanks to Jean Galt and her hard work at administering that program. We had 5 musical performances, received $7,000 in donations, $4,200 for the cost of the performance, and we estimate attendance about 150 per performance. Family Movie Night, which also is at Reading Pavilion, we had 2 movies, received $830 in donations. Both performances cost $830. The estimated attendance was between 75 and 100 per movie. And the sponsors were the Hummel Group and Armstrong Cable, and they've been sponsors throughout the life of the program, and we thank them for their continued commitment to that program. Kristen Ensley does a great job administering that program for us. Next up is a slide that we added a few years ago. It's kind of a summary of the projects for 2019 and then leads into the projects that we're anticipating for 2020. Again, the ODOT Pine Street project, the grant share was $668,254. The total was $668,747. That is not a typo. Our share was about $400 for that project. So we're very fortunate. We love those kind of projects, by the way. The OPWC, as I mentioned, the High Street resurfacing was a 50-50 match, so the grant share for the actual construction was $425,682. We also did some work on concrete streets, Collins, Lynn, Maple, Heights, Sunset, Host, in the intersection of Hostetler and Berry. Spent about $500,000 on that project. Also did a asphalt street project on Magnolia, Elm, Beaver, and North Crown Hill. Spent $517,000 on that project. Rails to Trails, Marshallville to Flora Road. That project actually began in 2018 and was completed in 2019. That project was completely funded through Rails to Trails of Wayne County. That was $1,061,000. We also completed Rails to Trails inside the city limits, and that was the portion in front of Main Street that extended behind Portico Plaza. And that was $143,000, $100,000 of which we received. Was paid for by the Capital Improvement Fund through the state, and then the rest was funded by Wayne County of Rails and Trails as well. Main Street resurfacing also started in 2018 and was completed in 2019, and that project was funded through ODOT as well as the city. The ODOT's share was about $1,388,000. History of road projects. This is just kind of give you an idea of the different roads that we've hit. Keep in mind, some of these are we've just done portions on, such as the concrete streets. Overall, in the last 8 years, we've hit 64 streets, had almost $8 million in either grants or local partnerships, and over almost $19 million in total cost for those projects. Finally is our 2020 preliminary project list. Again, we are hopeful of OPWC money. We would like to resurface Smucker Road from Crown Hill to the Corporation Limits, Vine from High to Depot, West Chestnut from Main to McGill, South Crown Hill from Back Orville to the Corporation Limits, South Walnut just under the overpass, as well as South Elm Extension from Oak to just past Shrock to the Corporation Limits as well. Also, we're hopeful of CDBG dollars, that's Community Development Block Grant dollars. We would complete Kirk those funds. Those funds are very restrictive in regards to eligibility and are only eligible for low to moderate income, so we're kind of restricted in where we're able to use those dollars, but Kirk is much needed anyway, so that works out. Also, depending on funds, we would like to do some additional concrete streets and downtown curbs. Finally, here are a few pictures of the various projects that occurred throughout the city. This is just a small microscope of all that was done, but upper left is the Pine Street concrete pour. Upper right is the City Hall Eagle project, which the service department built the base, the concrete, and installed the Eagle as well, so they were major players in that, and they did a great job. Also, the bottom left is the bowling alley demolition, and to the right is the Hind Vine concrete pour that most famously eliminated the hump, which we heard so much about. So that was a very exciting project for us. In conclusion, I just want to just mention that I've really had an opportunity to work with excellent staff, not only within the Safety Service Department, but also our chiefs as well as the superintendent. Their crews are also fantastic to work with as well, and they're a major part of why 2019 was a very good year for us, and I thank them as well. And I would be glad to answer any questions. Mr. Spears.
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler.
Yes, sir.
I know we met last year before summer got started up, and we had discussed changes to the hours of the pool. In your opinion, would you say that worked for us, didn't work? You know, we think we might make some changes for the coming year?
In all honesty, I think it was very successful. We had a few, we had actually one or two at the most that was kind of negative comments, and once it was explained to them, you know, I'd say for the most part they understood. That we heard from a lot of the families that said it was great that they didn't have to pack up and leave and then kind of come right back after, after just running home and kind of eating something real quick. So it really worked out well, I thought. I thought it was a very good, positive feedback for the most part. Yes, sir.
A comment along that same line. I appreciate you following up on that attendance figure, too.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, that wasn't done in the last couple of years, so we definitely need to get back on track with that so we could kind of hold ourselves accountable in regards to what was working and what wasn't there. So, and sometimes it's hard reining in 16 and 17-year-olds to do that, but we're definitely working on them.
Would you say same positive feedback for McMorrow and his staff as well?
The crew there is the best that we've ever had, to be honest with you. And I don't take light that the crews that we've had in the past were really good as well. But I know when I first got here, there was at least a half a dozen calls a year from the pool in regards to just some issues that were out there. And I just don't get those calls anymore. And now I will, now that I jinxed myself. I think because we're very swift with our discipline. If there's issues, we take care of them. Our police department is very responsive as well. And I just think it's a complete team effort. But I think the crew out there, the lifeguard staff is a younger staff that we're going to have for a number of years, which I think is a good thing as well. So just honestly, it's a really good crew out there right now.
Yes. Best crew since the early 1980s.
I was going to say, well, I won't say the best ever, but it's pretty darn good.
That change probably benefited then as well.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. We just received a lot of positive feedback from the staff as well. Okay. And I think, you know, how that reflects as well is how many decide to come back the following year. And I think we're seeing a lot of returns. So.
Awesome.
Yes, sir.
So I'm looking at your property maintenance violations, how you had a sharp decrease in issues there. What did you guys put anything in place? What was the cause of that success in 18 and 19?
And I won't I definitely won't say that it's a success. I think it's, you know, most of what we do on our property maintenance is complaint-driven. I think, to be very honest with you, we also, you know, Dan does a great job of working with the resident in regards to trying to see improvements where they can be. I mean, you know, to be very honest, there's property maintenance issues that I don't know the answer to, you know, where we have owners that simply can't afford to do the repairs. So we try to work with them and work with separate organizations to get that done. Sometimes that doesn't happen quickly. But I won't claim it as a success as much as we've done what we could with it. And I think, you know, Dan keeps on those folks as well, and they get tired of seeing them. So they, for the most part, they get taken care of.
So pretty much it's us being proactive. I mean, I'm looking at the visits by the inspector. I mean, we came from 65 to 33. Is that just him driving around seeing something and pressing it quick?
On occasion, it does work that way. You know, you have those that simply ignore us as well. I know property maintenance is a large issue for the mayor as well. So he, you know, I think all of us kind of keep an eye on things from that standpoint. But I won't claim it as a success as much as it was just a year in which those are the amount of visits we had and the amount of productivity we had as a result of that. Yeah, I definitely won't claim that we've seen everyone out there or anything like that, because that just doesn't happen. Any other questions?
Can I ask a question?
Absolutely, ma'am.
I'm sorry. This is my first time here.
Welcome.
Hi. I just have a question about the road pavings.
Yes.
Just out of curiosity, will Burton City Road be one of them?
Well, it's funny you asked that. You came to the right place. Actually, ask the gentleman behind you. I'm kidding. yes, it is actually scheduled to be done as part of it. That is actually, for the most part, is a county road. Correct me if I'm wrong, Commissioner, but that road is scheduled to be done this year as well, in 2020. The portion in the city limits will piggyback onto that, and we'll do that as well. So that is scheduled to be done, so you should see some improvements there.
Thank you. It's
yes,
so
ma'am.
Holy.
Thank Commissioner Amstutz. Don't thank me.
Thank you, sir.
That's one of the county engineers.
Any other questions? Also, I thought I would note, so just as an understanding, and council obviously knows this, but since we have an opportunity, we choose the roads normally based on what's called a pavement condition rating. That's an ODOT standard. So the roads are not picked out of a hat or, oh, you know, we live on that road, so let's do it. The pavement condition rating is done every couple of years. We have a list of roads with their condition from worst to best. And so we try to address those roads. So when you see us maybe on one side of town and then jumping across town, and you think, what the heck are they doing? Well, that's the reason why. We're trying to literally hit the worst roads first, because as soon as we hit those, the other roads obviously will then need done at a future point as well. So there is a method to our madness, I guess, is what I wanted to make sure everyone knew. Other than that, thank you for your time.
Well, yeah, I kind of know, you know, how that goes. You're getting smarter as you go, hopefully, anyway.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. Time flies when you have it. Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, I agree with you. Actually, so like a key star point. So it's going to look like a little bit more.
Yeah, see, we look at it. Oh, yeah. See, we got it. We're almost done. Oh, my bad.
Thank you.
you're going to take a pretty soon remission, I can tell you that.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Wheeler, and for your entire staff for another great year. That was an excellent report.
Thank you.
Now we will entertain a motion to adjourn. Mrs. Whitmer moves to be adjourned. And Mr. Larson seconds.
Larson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Carosa?
Yes.
Whitmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hanworth?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Very well. We are adjourned.
I agree. So who knows about it?